Well, so much for our three syndromes, so much for the consequences of thinking of religion, thinking of enlightenment, too literally and too exclusively in terms of experience. So what is the alternative? The alternative, of course, is to think of it in terms of non-experience. Non-experience. And we do find some trace of this way of thinking in the Pali Canon, the Pali Scriptures. For instance, in the Pali Scriptures, say the Dhammapada, we encounter this expression, this phrase, Nirvana is the supreme bliss. Nibbanang paramang sukhang. Nirvana is the supreme bliss. So the question that arises is, what difference is there between this bliss, the bliss of Nirvana, and ordinary bliss, worldly bliss, even heavenly bliss? What difference is there between the two? Nirvanic bliss and ordinary bliss, non-nirvanic bliss. And in course of time the answer came forth that worldly bliss is the kind of bliss that depends upon contact. Contact between the sense objects and the mind on the one hand and their respective physical and mental objects on the other. Worldly bliss arises independent on some sort of contact, some sort of object coming in contact with some sort of subject. So we could say that worldly bliss depends upon experience. Worldly bliss is a form of experience, but we are told nirvanic bliss is not so dependent. Nirvanic bliss does not arise in dependence upon any sort of contact at all. Nirvanic bliss is not the product of contact. When all contact ceases, that is nirvana. That is the bliss of nirvana. So nirvana is not an experience. We can only describe it as a non-experience. Nirvana is the experience you have when you stop experiencing. Nirvana or experience is also described in terms of cessation, nirodha, as the entire, the complete, the remainderless cessation of the conditioned. And so far as we are concerned, that means cessation of experience. For all our experience is conditioned. We don't know any other kind of experience. We know only conditioned experience. We do not know unconditioned experience. For us, unconditioned experience is a contradiction in terms, a logical impossibility. So to the extent that we think of nirvana or enlightenment as cessation, therefore we must think of it as non-experience. But here we may say we stand on the Everest and the Kanchenjunga of Buddhism. And here the air is very clear, but the air is also very cold for most of us. So perhaps we better go a little lower down. Perhaps we'd better try to find some other alternative to thinking of enlightenment in terms of non-experience. Some other alternative to thinking of religion. Something more positive. Something more concrete. Something more helpful to the genuine fulfillment of our own real human needs. And I'm going to suggest not one alternative, but three, all very closely linked. Some of them, I'm afraid, may not be very popular nowadays. The three alternative ways of thinking of religion as non-experience, I'm going to suggest, are growth, work, and duty. And I'll say just a few words about each and then conclude.